Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome to episode 10 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, and our headlines editor, Tom Childs. How are we doing, mate? How's things with you?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. We got a bit of a reminder in the last 7 days that how insignificant sport is, really, yeah, in terms of life. And like, I'm sorry that 24 seconds into this show, I'm just going bang at you. But I really wanted to touch on the whole Christian Eriksen thing from the off. And it's something that I've thought about a lot for the last 6-7 days since it happened. That you watch something like that happen and you see someone's life being turned around, well, turned upside down in front of your eyes on TV, which was just shocking to see. Mm-hmm. You just realise that as great as sport is and hobbies are and everything, and like supporting a team is fun, and how riled up we get about supporting our team, how excited we get about it. When you see something like that happen, you realize that it doesn't really matter, like at all.
Yeah.
I felt a bit funny about sport in general since then, even when I was watching the England games and all the other European Championship games since. I feel like my outlook on sport in general has changed in the last 6 or 7 days. So although I'm doing well, that has affected me seeing that. And I feel like I'm in a funny place right now.
I think it's affected a lot of people because, I mean, for those who don't know what happened, I mean, it probably was all over the news across the world, this, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. One of the Danish players, Eriksen, actually collapsed on the field. And the reports were that he suffered some kind of heart attack or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which literally stopped the game in its tracks. The game got postponed, got shut down. And there was very much a more of a human element to this, wasn't there? That, mm-hmm. you know, fans everywhere were basically, no matter what nationality you were, which team you supported, there was a lot of love and support for Eriksen and his family because his wife was there. You know, that was another thing. I mean, the scenes were horrific, really. Because you were seeing
in front of your eyes, without the intervention, you were seeing a man die. That's what you were watching on TV.
Live on TV.
And I've never seen anything like that in person or on TV before. And so to see something like that, it was just, it was horrific. I said, I don't feel like the TV companies handled the situation particularly well. No. I thought what we saw on TV, there was far too much detail for what we see. Like there would be kids watching that, and I'm an adult and it affected me, but imagine like a 12 or a 13 year old boy or girl watching that. That can't be good for them. And I just didn't like the way it was handled by anyone, like showing his wife on TV
on the sidelines.
Like she's there not knowing what's going on. God knows what's going through her mind. And then a television director somewhere decided, oh, and you know what? This will make good TV if we show his wife.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't get it. And I'm sorry to start the podcast on like a sour, like not a sour note, but like a down note. And thankfully he's survived. He seems to be doing well, which is obviously the most important thing here. But I just felt like I just needed to get that off my chest to begin with, that although I am doing really well, I just like sports kind of just like taking a little bit of a hit for me this week, but I'm sure I'll get over it. I'm sure once England start getting into the knockout stages, I'll be fine. But until that point, you know, I'm going to be a bit meh about sport. I feel like
it's the perspective, isn't it,
mm-hmm.
on everything. And I think you do look at things like that. You do selfishly evaluate what you were doing in your own life as well, because, you know, you've got this fit athlete who suddenly has a life-threatening moment, which you don't expect because you think these guys are like the highest athletes on the land. You know, they're in World Cups, they're in Euro Championships. You know, no matter what sport you do, they're at the peak of physical fitness, and it does affect you because it is that shock factor because you really don't expect it. But but we wish him well. We wish his recovery well.
We do.
And shall we talk about a bit less somber things, shall we?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
bit of a slow start to the show, but
I'm so sorry, Chiefs Kingdom.
No, it needed to be said, mate. You're right. It does put it into perspective. As fans, we've got to look at it as, you know, we're all humans at the end of the day. We might have a difference of opinion, but at the end of the day, we're all flesh and blood, the same, aren't we?
Like when it was all going on, there was no like, not that anyone, I doubt anyone would think this, but there was no like, oh, he's Tottenham and he's former Tottenham and I'm Arsenal. They're like that's not a thought that goes through anyone's head. It was not Christian Eriksen, the football player. It was Christian Eriksen, the man, the husband, the son, the father. That's what was going through your head as you're seeing it was all going on. It was just, it was awful to watch, but thankfully, touch wood, he's doing well now. So
Exactly that. Right, let's get some Chiefs news underway, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. We've had some good, decent coverage recently. Tom, our very own Arrow Headlines editor, has been doing a great job over the last how many months or years have been doing Arrow Headlines now?
This is coming up to my third season.
Yeah. Wow, it feels like just yesterday since you actually got the gig. But credit to you, mate, because it's one of those go-to sites that I go to just get up to date with everything that's going on. Because it's good.
Thank you very much.
I
appreciate the plug. I didn't ask you to do that, but if you're going to do it, excellent. Like if it means I'm doing a good job and I get to keep my job, then I'm happy.
Well, you've pleased me, mate, because like I said, short, sharp articles every now and again that you just look at and you just think, yeah, I'm up to speed with all my Chiefs news.
I have one goal in life, and that one goal in life is to please you, Brad, however you see fit. That's like every Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, we get on a Zoom call, we put the cameras on, and I will do whatever I can to please you, Brad. It's absolutely fine.
Dance monkey. Well, I just wanted to touch on something on the Arrow Headlines articles, and one of them was there was a ranking recently of the NFL's top 10 wide receivers for 2021, and it was surprising to me actually, because I mean, as Chiefs fans, we all expect our wide receiver one, Tyreek Hill, to be number one in any of these lists, but he was actually just pipped to the post by Devontae Adams in this. And Tyreek Hill is second. So, I mean, moving forward, I mean, that's gonna really kind of add a bit more fuel to the fire for Tyreek Hill, isn't it? Because he wants to be number one, doesn't he?
Of course he wants to be number one, but being number two behind Devontae Adams isn't exactly a bad thing. Remember, this article on CBS is one person's opinion. And I'm sure there are others out there that have the opinion that Tyreek Hill is one of the best, if not the best, in the league. And we've come a long way for Tyreek Hill. We're no longer in the Jalen Ramsey and he's a return specialist days. Mm. We're well past that now. He is a wide receiver first and a special teamer sparingly. So, and he's done really well to get into that conversation, but also become the conversation when it comes to it now. Because whenever people talk about explosiveness, the first guy they talk about is Tyreek Hill. It's not Devontae Adams, it's Tyreek Hill. I just think people look at the traditional sense of a wide receiver and look at the technical stuff, the stuff that Devontae Adams does really, really well in like small spaces. And that's the reason why they hold him in such high regard. And he also is coming off an excellent season with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I can't remember how many touchdowns they got last year, but it was a stupid amount that the touchdowns that they got between them. It's no bad thing to be behind Devontae Adams. Like if he was below, like, I don't know, like a Keenan Allen, then I'd be like, all right, then fair enough. Let's have an argument. But I'm not splitting hairs over Tyreek Hill being number two to Devontae Adams, which I know you are, and you're going to make your case now.
No, do you know what? Actually, I was thinking about this the other day. I actually don't like it when you're top a ranking. I never felt comfortable with it. And especially when the Chiefs are always like, favorites now to be number one and, you know, being the best team going, moving forward in the power rankings. I never really kind of liked that, because I always think there's a bit of kind of complacency creeps in.
Do you think?
I always think that, and it's nice to be top of your game, but I always think you need that, just that little bit more, just to keep your game on point. And I think Tyreek Hill's going to get this with this NFL ranking.
See, I disagree with you there with the Chiefs, and especially this group of Chiefs players. They are so not content with just being the best ones, and then becoming a normal Super Bowl winning team where they, outside of the Patriots, they go back to mediocrity, then build themselves back up again. They are so set on being the best all the time. And I know every team says this, and every team does say this, but the Chiefs actually come through with it, that I don't actually agree with that statement, because I feel like Travis Kelce's the best tight end in the league, Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league, and Tyreek Hill feels like he'd be up there. And I don't feel like they have complacency in their game. I know that they want to stay at the top the whole time. And every time you hear an interview with any of the players, as boring as it is, we want to get better every day. Every day this, every day is a process. And they're saying this when they're the best team in the league. They're saying it like the day after winning the Super Bowl. They're like, oh, it's all about the process, all about getting better every day, ready for next season. I don't feel like the Chiefs ever rest on their laurels. And so I don't really fear them being at the top of any rankings. They just don't come across as the guys that look at those type of things and go, yeah, well, my job's done.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next one.
I suppose that, you know, being at the top of your position group or being one of the top teams in the league, you find other motivations, don't you? That's the key here. And that leads me on to another article, which I read on Arrowhead Pride recently. And believe it or not, I was like, this is a really good article. I'm really enjoying this article. In fact, I enjoyed it that much, I'm going to read it twice. And when I looked who wrote it, it was Tom Childs.
Wow.
I was like, what the heck? It's like some kind of parallel universe where I'm seeing Tom Childs' name everywhere I go.
Has like my fiance like emailed you or messaged you on the side saying, oh, Tom's been really down about this whole Christian Eriksen thing all week. Can you perk him up a little bit on the podcast? Is this what this is?
No, seriously, mate. It was an article that I looked at. Obviously, being a passionate fan myself, I'm really kind of motivated on, I'm trying to get the team, like, you know, even across the pond, trying to get them built up. And I do like the hype videos and stuff that I just do for fun and stuff, just to keep myself kind of at peak passion. But yeah, this one actually really spoke to me, because it was about Travis Kelce and Frank Clark and how they plan on using the failure of obviously the Super Bowl as a motivation to get to another Super Bowl. And yeah, it just got me thinking, you know, that those are top guys in the team. They are the team leaders, so to speak. And you look to them for motivation, and they've really utilized that really well.
I know what you mean. Like, it comes back to what I was just talking about with Tyreek Hill, where they're never going to settle just for the one Super Bowl. They want to be the best again. We've seen with this team before that they use adversity really well. Like in 2019, they lost the AFC Championship game to the Patriots. What do? They retool, they re-equip, and they go again. And they've used that adversity as fuel to go there or get where they needed to be. And they won the Super Bowl. They went back to Super Bowl and obviously got embarrassed in February. And they're going back to like the 2019 mode again, where they've re-equipped, they've retooled, and they now know what they need to do to get over the hump. So it's a culture thing. As Kelce highlighted in that interview, it starts with Andy Reid. And Andy Reid is constantly about keeping things fresh. That's why he's always ahead of the game when it comes to offensive play calls and offensive formations and all the new trends of offense in the NFL. They tend to come from Andy Reid. Why? Yeah. Because he's never settling. He always wants to get better and maintain himself as the best that there is. And I feel like that's filtered down into the team. And it starts with your team leaders. It starts with Mahomes. It starts with Kelce. It starts with Frank Clark. Despite what people say about Frank Clark and what he's actually offering on the field, you can't question his motivation. You can't. His qualities, I do feel like he needs to produce more on the field, and you'll be hard-pressed to find a Chiefs fan that disagrees with that. but what he offers in terms of the non-tangibles is clearly something that the Chiefs feel like is worth having around. And so that's why they continue to keep Frank Clark around.
Yeah. So what you're saying is it's more about the attitude of the team, isn't it? More over, well, over talent, but yes.
You need both.
Yeah, you need both. You really do need both, but you need that kind of mental strength. And what we were saying before is we've mentioned this on a few shows, haven't we, where it's your character in a locker room and that mental strength that kind of keeps the whole unit solidified and keeps it on the right path.
Yeah.
And I think you're right with that. And it's strange to think as well. I mean, it was great, the article, because it did actually pick out something that Frank Clark said in that, where he said he feels like we're going to have a lot of fun out there this year. That's what I liked about the article. It kind of steered to the point of football is a game at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's a fun game to play. And the players have got to recognize and realize that they are playing a game for fun. Yes, they're getting some good money at the end of it as well. They're getting the bag. But fundamentally, it's got to be you're having fun with your brothers on the field at the end of the day. And I think Travis Kelce and Frank Clark really kind of bring that, they elevate that from everybody else.
Yeah, like sports people in general, they are being paid to play children's games. They don't, when you first start playing a sport as a child, you don't play the sport because that's what you want to do for a profession. You do the sport first. And then as you get good at it, as you enjoy it more, it then becomes a profession if you're lucky. Yeah. And I think we just need to kind of realize that as fans as well, that when we watch sport and when these players are playing sport, the whole idea is to have fun. that is why we are here. We don't watch sport to become even more miserable. We don't have, like, some of us aren't miserable at work all day, and then for our release in the evening, I'll tell you what, let's watch sport and become more miserable. Unless you support Tottenham or something like that, then that's why you did it on purpose. But or the Raiders, like that's why you do it.
This will be fun.
I just think, in general, if the Chiefs are having fun, then that's great. But as I pointed out, there is a focus there as well. So they'll be having fun. And that's not them being unprofessional. That's just them enjoying their trade. Yeah. But also, their aim is to win the Super Bowl. And you can bet your bottom dollar. I've never said that saying in my life. You can bet your bottom dollar, I'm going to say it twice, that they are laser focused and more focused than every other team in the NFL.
There's other things to talk about really on this as well, because we're talking about obviously keeping the right players and keeping them at that, you know, that right mentality and things. But it was on record recently that Mahomes is saying he wants Matthew forever. As long as he is at the Chiefs, he wants Tyrann Mathieu with him.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, we'd love to have Tyrann Mathieu forever. That's a given, isn't it? But is there any other player that you would want on this Chiefs team that you would want to stick around forever, other than Mahomes, Mathieu, Kelce, and Tyreek Hill, should we say?
I think you can. I get why you say Mahomes, Mathieu, and Kelce, because Mahomes and Mathieu are the two in the conversation.
Yeah.
Kelsey's basically there already. So I feel like he's not going to do a Jason Witten where he's going to go to another team late in his career. I feel like Kelce, as long as he wants to play football, he will always have a job in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Kelce plays till his late 30s. I really wouldn't. If we're only just getting to the halfway point of his career right now, that really wouldn't shock me. But if I had to pick one player the rest of his career in Kansas City, it's tough. Originally I was thinking about a DB, but then I'm going to go L'Jarius Sneed.
Because, really?
Yeah, because good cornerbacks are hard to find. And by all accounts, he's going to be a good cornerback. And I know that could be seen as a reach after one season, but if he plays a 10-year career, that's 10 years of decent cornerback play. And then obviously you have that added bonus with cornerbacks that when they get older and more savvy and their legs can't really carry them as far, they then tend to move into the middle and then become a safety, like a Charles Woodson did type thing. So yeah, I'd probably say L'Jarius Sneed. I know there's other guys out there, Tyreek Hill being one of them, but Tyreek Hill, I think, is so dependent on his speed that once he hits like the 32, 31 sort of range, he's more than likely to lose a step, and that will affect his game significantly. So if he plays to his 35, I don't feel like Tyreek Hill in his later years is going to be same to Tyreek Hill now. Where L'Jarius Sneed, I don't think the drop-off's going to be that much, but there will be a position change attached to that also.
Yeah. I think I'd go Chris Jones. I think that's probably an easy one to say, though, because Chris Jones, we've had him since we drafted him. He is such a big character in the team. And the fact that they're actually shifting him into the defensive end this season is another exciting thing to have with him as well. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, because he's really wanted to be at defensive end, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
If that means that it's, pleasing him is putting him on the defensive end and making sure that he stays a Chief forevermore, I'm all for that. So I would love to keep Chris Jones.
Yeah, another one could be Harrison Butker. If Butker spent the rest of his career in Kansas City and he has a 20-year career, there's a chance that he could break some records there, like all-time point scorer and stuff like that, because he is an accurate field goal kicker, and we know with the Chiefs that he's going to get plenty of opportunities too. So yeah, maybe Harrison Butker. Obviously, if he starts missing extra points, then I'm not interested. I'll retract my statement. But
nailing the 60 yarders.
Yeah, but I'm okay with Butker. I'll tell you what, he needs a kick in Denver this year. We need to see it. We need to, like just before halftime or something, we just need to take a knee. We like, absolutely battered them.
Let's get on our 30 yard line.
Knee and then let him have a shot at the record. Stick him on 64 yarder in Denver. Thin air, let him have a shot at the record, because I think he's got the leg. I think he's got it. And obviously, Denver's renowned for being big kicks. Like, the last two record breakers have both been in Denver because of the thin air. So yeah, just put him out there. Just do it. Come on.
We all know that Andy Reid is that kind of coach as well, to actually go, do you know what? Let's rub the salt in the wounds a bit more.
Yeah.
He did it just before halftime.
Send him out there. If he misses, we go in with like a 28-point lead as opposed to a 31. Who really cares? Come on.
We'll get another 58 points on the board in the second half anyway.
Exactly. Don't worry about it. Exactly.
Is that cocky? No, it's not cocky. we're talking about fun and games and things like that recently. Did you see the new Madden cover?
I did.
I must admit, I was a little bit disappointed.
It's rubbish.
It's I was going to say it's a little bit disappointed, but you've just gone straight in there with it.
It's rubbish, mate. It's awful.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's like sat on a park bench.
It doesn't. The thing is with that, right? Some people are going to hate me for this. They really are.
Oh, God.
The thing is with that, right? Is that someone got paid to do that, okay?
Yeah.
So someone got paid to take the photos, which aren't that impressive.
I've got the iPhone ready.
Exactly. Someone got paid to put that onto a graphic, which I feel like either of us two could have done on Canva on our phone in like 5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah.
And it just furthers my opinion that a lot of people get paid a lot of money to do a job that they're not very good at.
You know what you reminded me of?
You could say that about me and you doing this podcast. You could say the same. And fair play to the people getting paid to do this. Don't hate the players, hate the game. I'm a big advocate of that saying. If the game allows you to do it, do it. Okay. Whenever Bill Belichick finds like a little nuance in the game, like a little rule that he can, like a little loophole he can go through, I'm all for that, because the game allowed him to do that. So he don't hate him because he's smarter than everyone else. So don't hate these graphic designers and these photographers because they can get paid to produce that. Like, it is awful.
It's terrible. I mean, it's even worse when you put it up against any of the previous titles, the previous Maddens that were there. And there's a tweet going around at the moment which shows, I can't remember which year it was. Was it Madden 10 or something? I don't know, something like that. And it looked brilliant. It looked like, the packaging on it looked amazing. It was like splashes of color. It was two players going head to head. And this one's like two old guys sat on a park bench.
Yeah. it's so bad.
And it's the first thing I thought of was the person's done that on the back of the bus on the way to school, ready to submit their art project. That's what it felt like. It's like just no kind of, I mean, there's a few little triangles in the corner and stuff.
It's rubbish.
It's terrible. It really is bad. I mean, there was a fan-made one which showed Mahomes in like a pose, and Brady stood there, you know, with the ball to his chest and everything like that. And I thought that looked really good, and I thought that was going to be the one.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to be it, and apparently it wasn't.
Yeah, and then what they
so did somebody's going to get a really good job for the next one.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if you saw my question that I posted yesterday or on Thursday rather. Do you think that Tom Brady would have agreed to do it if he'd lost the Super Bowl to Mahomes?
Heck no.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he would.
No?
Nah.
I'm toing and froing on this because part of me is like knows that Brady is renowned for being like quite a bad loser.
Yeah.
When it comes to like other quarterbacks. But then part of me also thinks he has shown an enormous amount of respect to Mahomes in the past.
You could look at it like that, but I actually think that if the Chiefs had beaten Brady in the Super Bowl and Madden came over to them and said, let's have both of you on the photo shoot, he'd demand that both those shoots were separate.
Do you think?
Yeah, because I think you're right there. I think the fact that he doesn't like to lose and he really takes it badly if he does lose, I don't think they would have been on the same bench. I think it would have been cut and paste. Which would have been an even harder job for the person, for the intern. So
are you telling me that had the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, we would have had a better Madden cover and the graphic designer would have had to work harder?
Yeah, because the intern didn't know how to cut and paste. That's what it was. Anyway, mate, should we have a quick break? I'm really looking forward to the next part of the show because it is our Chiefs all-time draft.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi there, Chiefs Kingdom. Welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with myself, Brad Simcox, and Tom Childs. So this is going to be part two, day two of our Chiefs all-time draft. And we've had a bit of a response from day one, haven't we?
We have.
After the first show went out.
Are you okay?
I'm not. I'm not. You blew me out of the water with your first, what, three picks?
Yeah.
And I feel a little bit, I do feel as though a little bit aggrieved by the fact that you managed to pick up two of the greatest tight ends in history.
Before we explain what's going on, should we do a review of the teams quickly?
Let's do that in case they
missed the show. So my team currently is Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tony Gonzalez, Tyreek Hill, Willie Rofe, Willie Lanier, Buck Buchanan, Tim Grunhard, Brian Waters, Jared Allen, Albert Lewis, and Brad's team is Derek Thomas, Emmett Thomas, Will Shields, Bobby Bell, Jamal Charles, Otis Taylor, Mitchell Schwartz, Marcus Peters, Derek Johnson, Chris Jones, and Marcus Allen. So basically what we're doing here, we're having a Chiefs all-time draft, in case you missed it. We're picking 23 players in total. We picked 11 last week. We're going to pick 12 this week. 11 offense, 11 defense, and then we're getting an extra player of any position that we want. Okay, so it can be an extra QB, it can be an extra running back, an extra DB. It's just an extra player that we can pick to stop the other person picking them, to screw up their plans, basically.
Yeah.
So that's the rule. And that's where we are. I think we're on pick 23, and it's Brad's turn, and he's got one pick left.
Yes, because you used to obviously start with day one with Patrick Mahomes, which that was probably the easiest pick ever to make. Mm-hmm. But yes, my first pick, I think I'm going to go with a blocker here as well. I'm going to go straight off. I'm going right out of the blocks here, right?
Okay. Because, can I guess what position you're going to try and block me from?
Yeah, go on.
I think you're going to try and take another running back because you've already got Jamaal Charles and Marcus Allen. I think you're going to take another running back.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
No, I'm not. I am actually going, I'm going defensive again.
Okay.
Tom's now thinking, where's he going with this?
Yeah.
I'm creating the Legion of Kaboom, right?
Oh, you've come up with a name, Kaboom.
Come up with a name. The Legion of Kaboom, right? It was the Legion of Boom Boom, and now it's the Legion of Kaboom. I'm going safety.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot left up. There's a lot left there, so I'm actually okay with this.
You might be all right with this, yeah, but I'm going to go Tyrann Mathieu.
Okay, first safety off the board is Tyrann Mathieu.
First safety off the board of Tyrann Mathieu, and my blocker.
No, that's not the way it works.
I want to go blocker.
No. A blocker's not you jumping in at any point you want. A blocker is just you taking an extra position, not taking an extra pick. It's just you get an extra slot for any position.
Right, okay.
So it's Tyrann Mathieu is your pick, and now it's my two.
Ah, it's like that, is it? Are you making the rules up as you go along?
No. I was clear. I even said it twice. I was clear.
All right, okay. So I didn't get an extra pick then.
No, you don't. You just get to pick an extra slot at that position. So, like, for example, I took Travis Kelce last week and I took Tony Gonzalez as the flex. Yeah. Well, now I am using a blocker and I'm taking the third tight end here. Basically, I'm going to leave you to choose between Demetrius Harris and Sean McGrath.
Because I am
taking Fred Abanas, who I knew you were going to take as your tight end, and now you have very little to choose from. So I have now got Travis Kelce, Tony Gonzalez, and Fred Abanas. Boom.
So there's me being smug.
Yeah.
Thinking I was being able to block you.
Yeah. And was that the tight end you were going to take?
No. It was. And I actually had a first choice and second choice on there, and I don't actually have a second choice anymore.
You are going to take Sean McGrath, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to, I think.
I love it. Okay, and then my next pick, I'm taking Tamba Harley. So I'm reuniting Tamba Harley and Jared Allen. I'm having both of them two together.
I like that pick, Tamba. Yeah, a bit of Tamba time. I'm happy with that. Yeah, very much so. I'm not as devastated as I would have been that you've taken Fred. I'm not as devastated. It's a bit of a knock, but it's, you know, I'm creating a Legion of Kaboom here. So, you know, I'm glad with that. I'm happy with that. Right, okay, my next two picks. Now, I've already got Derek Thomas as one of my defensive ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take another legendary defensive end as well in Neil Smith.
Nice.
So I think that's a nice kind of edge rush coming on Mahomes there.
Not a bad matchup, is it? You've got Derek Thomas and Neil Smith on your side, and on my side you've got Jared Allen and Tamba Harley.
Yeah. Right, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that would be unreal, that wouldn't it? Eh?
Yeah, it would. No, good pick.
Yeah, Neil Smith. So that's my defensive ends covered.
You have, yeah. You've got them both.
Yeah, I've got them both now. So, and I'm now going to go safety yet again.
Oh.
And I'm going Eric Berry. So I've got Tyrann Mathieu and Eric Berry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's my pick, and I'm doubling up here. I'm going two safeties. Before you use a blocker, I'm going Johnny Robertson and Daron Cherry. Job done. There's my safety duo done.
There's your safety. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
So we've got like the old school versus the new school there.
Very much so. I'm very much leading the old school here, especially in the defensive side, because this team's looking awesome. This defense, I'm building the best defense in the history of the world here. Okay,
we need to find like a Madden version where it's got all of these players on like an ultimate team.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
And just create this matchup and then just put
see
it to
what
sim.
Happens.
Put it to sim.
That would be fun. That would be good. Right. Okay. So to add to my Legion of Kaboom, I'm going to go outside linebacker, and I'm going to choose Curly Culp.
Nice. That's some linebacking core you've got there now, isn't it?
Bobby I'm just Bell. I'm just typing Derek these Johnson. In. Wow, yeah. Derek Johnson, Bobby Bell, Chris Jones, Curly Culp. Wow, man.
Your front seven's looking good. Looking real good. So
my offense hasn't got a quarterback yet. I think what I'm going to do now is I'm going to complete this amazing defense, and then I'm going to be able to concentrate on the offense moving forward.
Okay.
And I'm going to go for a nose tackle. You'd expect me to go Dontari Poe, but I'm not. I'm going Bill Maas.
Nice.
Bill Maas at nose tackle. That guy was a beast.
Yeah. You have a lot of mass at...
We have a lot of mass on the...
on the defensive line now. So just to go through this, your front seven is Bill Maas, Chris Jones, Derek Thomas, Neil Smith, Bobby Bell, Derek Johnson, and Curly Culp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be safe to say that's the greatest front seven of all time.
I think it is. Yeah. I've used all my picks on that. I've not really addressed the offense.
So basically, you're going down the route of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what they tried to do to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like the outsides and the DBs, they were okay, but they didn't really count for much. But it was all defensive line and linebackers that did the work, really, did the dirty work for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So
my view on this was, if you were going literally full all out with your offense, I'm going to have to try and create the best defense ever to try and suffocate that.
I get that. But it's 2021. That doesn't matter. Great offense beats great defense. Always has some.
Defense wins championships.
Yeah. So I'm going for the offense. I'm going for Ed Budd. I'm 80% there now with my offensive line. So now my offensive line is Willie Rofe, Ed Budd, Tim Grunhard, and Brian Waters. So I'm pretty happy with that. Let's give him a running back to block four. Let's give him Priest Holmes before you come in and get there as well. So in a lot of people's opinions, not everyone's opinions, I've now got the best Chiefs running back of all time behind an offensive line, which will just manhandle your front seven.
You're wrong with the best running back of all time, because that's Jamal Charles, and I've already got
But yeah, I know, and I agree with you. I am a Jamal Charles person, boy. I am. But a lot of people do think that Priest Holmes is the better of the two. They're wrong, but it's their opinion. Fine.
Okay, right. So I've got two now, haven't I? Now, I am going to... I'm quite safe with the quarterback position, because I know I've got two there that I can really kind of rely on. And you use your blocker on them, haven't you? So I'm going to try and sneak in there with some interesting offensive talent now. I'm going to go with a wide receiver this time, but a wide receiver with a bit more of an angle to him, bit of speed, bit of dukeability.
DeAnthony Thomas.
Not quite. Human joystick, Dante Hall.
Nice. Okay.
Because I'm thinking of, you know, if you've just scored points, I'm going to have to be trying to score in points off a kickoff.
Yeah.
So if I have the human joystick in there.
Do you know what? He didn't come into my mind once for this whole exercise.
No, it doesn't.
Not once.
That's the thing.
It's bad. It's really bad that he hasn't. But the last 2 weeks, when I was sitting there writing players down, not once have I thought about Dante Hall.
Because everyone sees him as a special teamer, don't they?
Yeah. He's Tyreek Hill of 2016, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I've thrown him in there. So I've got Otis Taylor and I've got Dante Hall, which I think that's a pretty decent wide receiver group there.
Yeah, you've left me with a decision now to make on terms of wide receiver, because I thought I was just going to get left one, and now two of them are sat there, and I don't know which one I'm going to take now. But you've got another pick before I have that to make. So
yeah, I'm actually going to go with left tackle this time. I'm going to go with a mountain of a left tackle as well. Because did you get Eric Fisher?
No, Eric Fisher's still sat there.
Is he still sat there? Well, I'm not actually going to go Eric Fisher either. I'm actually going to go John Ault.
Okay, John Ault. Okay,
6'8".
Yeah.
The guy's a man mountain, so I'm going to go John Ault at left tackle.
Well, welcome to the 2003 offensive line conversation, finally. after letting me take it all, it's fine. I know, you had Will Shields as well, I suppose.
Yeah, I got that.
64, that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to take a tackle as well. I'm taking Jim Trier from the 60s.
Nice.
All AFL player of the 60s, a stalwart of the Chiefs and the Dallas Texans. So, yeah, I'm going for Jim Trier as a tackle.
Wasn't he voted one of the best?
Yeah, I don't know who I'm going to play in what tackle positions yet. Like, Jim Trier, Woody Rolfe, I'll let them decide when we get to camp.
let them fight it out.
Yeah, I'm not decided. But in my opinion, if you're a Hall of Fame tackle, yeah, or one regarded as one of the best, then you should be able to play both ways anyway, so it's absolutely fine. You know,
exactly that.
It's the modern day. They'll be fine. And then I'm gonna go wide receiver. I've got two players here for receiver, right? And one of them I really like, but he shouldn't be involved in the conversation as one of the best Chiefs receivers of all time. Like, he shouldn't. Right. He would be the outlier in this team.
Right.
And it's Jeremy Maclin.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked Jeremy Maclin when he played for the Chiefs.
I liked him, actually, yeah.
I did enjoy watching him play, but I think he'll always go down as one of the forgotten players of the Andy Reid era. Because he didn't really play with Mahomes, and he didn't also have any like outstanding seasons. He was good, not great. But this guy I'm going for, he had one season in particular where he was just out of this world, and it's Dwayne Bowe, who I am picking. I am picking Dwayne Bowe. For all of his critics, he played with a lot of bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And in a lot of bad offense, like not wide receiver friendly offenses. And then he had that one season in 2010 when he caught 15 touchdowns and was just outrageous. And I always remember the one catch. I think it was against Indianapolis when the ball's basically on the floor and he's bent himself in half with one hand to catch it. And growing up as I was a Chiefs fan in the 2000s and the noughties and the tens, I feel like Dwayne Bowe was one of those guys that was kind of always there or thereabouts the team. So, yeah, I'm going for Dwayne Bowe.
I think Dwayne Bowe was considered the greatest wide receiver. I think he got the most yards, didn't he, or something like that for a wide receiver.
Right, in Chiefs history?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know about it. I might have to fact check that.
They called him the Gritch, didn't they? Greatest receiver in Chiefs history. I think it was.
Did you just make that up?
No. Somebody mentioned it once, and I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Gritch? So you've got the Gritch.
But what it does mean, picking Dwayne Bowe, here we are, and my offense is finished. Do you want to hear my offense?
Yeah, please. Go on.
Okay, so at quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, running back, Priest Holmes. Tight ends, I've got Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce. A receiver, I've got Tyreek Hill and Dwayne Bowe. Then on the offensive line, I've got Willie Rofe, Ed Budd, Tim Grunhard, Brian Waters, and Jim Trier. And then my backup is Fred Urbanus as a backup tight end. So if I wanted to go three heavy on tight ends, I could. Would be the greatest offense of all time.
That's really going to keep my linebackers busy, isn't it?
what would you run with that? Like if you got Tyreek Hill, like you just say to Tyreek Hill, you just have to take the top off. Just take the top off the defense. You have to stretch it. And then you've got the power run game there with that offensive line and Priest Holmes and those tight ends to block as well.
Yeah.
And then also you've got the added thing of Dwayne Bowe, who does not mind the dirty catches. You've got Tony G, who made a living off dirty catches. And then you've got Travis Kelce, who will catch anything over the middle, will defeat any zone, yards after the catch. I feel like with Mahomes, and if you had Andy Reid calling those plays, heck, if you had Pete Sweeney calling those plays, it would still be the greatest offense of all time.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. But I knew that as soon as you got Mahomes, Kelce, and Gonzalez, I thought I'm going to have to really switch my strategy because there's no way you can kind of compete with that unless you've got a really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still with the offense actually.
Okay.
I've actually played it wrong here with this blocker.
Yeah, you have, because you've let me have all the positions I wanted to have.
Yeah, and there's no point blocking any of them.
No,
because you've already
got an extra player now.
you've sorted out your offense.
Yeah.
And I'm already on my offense now.
Yeah.
Which, good strategy, Brad. Well done. Right, okay. I'm going to go with right guard. I'm going to go with a player here that hasn't actually played a game for the Chiefs yet. But he is very much a well-respected and highly decorated right guard. Okay. At the left guard position. I'm going to go with Joe Tooney.
Okay.
Right guard. I'm playing him out of position, but he's the kind of guy that I'm thinking, if I've got Will Shields at left guard, I'm going to put Joe Tooney at right guard. And they can fight it out between them.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going Joe Tooney that hasn't played a game for the Chiefs yet.
Oh, that's mad.
That is mad. But I've seen him play for the Patriots. I just made sure that I got him in. Okay, right. So I'm now going to go with my center, and it's going to be Jack Rudney.
Okay. You're not building a bad offensive line yourself here, mate.
It's not bad. No. It's not bad. I'm having to patch it up, I must admit.
Okay.
But it's looking good. There's some heavy hitters there. There's some good big guys there, especially John Old, 6'8".
So I'm going to cheat a little bit here. I'm going to go... I know we said we needed to be strict with the whole 4-3-3-4 thing, but I'm taking an extra linebacker, like an outside linebacker.
I'm going to
use him at will, just because I can. I'm going to take Justin Houston there. And So we might have to see Tamba Harley in coverage again every now and then, but I'm going to use Justin Houston. And then my other linebacker I'm going to take is Jim Lynch. So Willie Lanier's famous partner. So I'm going to have Jim Lynch in there with Justin Houston.
Do you remember when Justin Houston played at cornerback?
Was that against the Steelers when he got to cover Antonio Brown or something, wasn't it?
Like, what's he doing there? Okay, so my final picks, and it's strange that I'm going to be selecting these, but I'm going to go with Walter White at tight end.
Okay. Not Sean McGrath then.
No.
you decided to go for Heisenberg as opposed to Sean McGrath.
I thought, you know what? You love Breaking Bad. And I thought, you know what? Having a bit of a Walter White in there might be just the kind of game changer that we need.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the pre-game announcers were ever going to go, oh, look, it's a battle of the great tight ends and you got my three versus your one. I don't feel like it's going to be a fair...
Fair fight.
And
my final pick, and I'll have to obviously choose a blocker as well. My quarterback is going to be the only other Chiefs quarterback that has actually won a Super Bowl, and I'm going with the old school, Len Dawson.
Okay, I thought you might go Joe. I was thinking you might go.
Do you know what? I was teetering on whether to actually go Joe, but Len Dawson. You can't deny Len Dawson. He was the guy that the Chiefs fans lauded for many years because of Super Bowl IV. And, you know, he's the only other Chiefs quarterback that's actually been to two Super Bowls as well.
Exactly. And there's a picture of him smoking a cigarette at halftime of the Super Bowl, which...
Which makes sure that he's straight in my team.
Exactly. So that puts me in my final two picks. I've got a defensive tackle to take and a cornerback to take. And I'm going fairly recent. My cornerback, I'm going for Brandon Flowers. Not just because I love the Killers, but no, I love Brandon Flowers when he was at the Chiefs. Picture of him next to Andy Studebaker where he's standing there on top of the ball, foot on the ball in front of the black hole flexing.
Yeah.
One of the all-time great Chiefs pictures.
A hard-hitting one as well, wasn't he?
Absolute class. So I'm going for Brandon Flowers, despite him joining the Chargers afterwards, but that doesn't matter. And the other one I'm going for is Dontari Poe. And that's just in case Patrick Mahomes gets injured and we need a backup quarterback. So, yeah, I'm going for Dontari Poe.
You've gone for two quarterbacks there. All right, so my extra pick, I'm going to have to go Joe Montana.
You're going to back up and double up on quarterbacks?
I'm going to have to back it because if you got Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to have to kind of double up on, you know, two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, haven't
they? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like it.
I think that's a pretty decent offense now.
Go on and tell me your offense.
Right. So, quarterback, I've got Len Dawson, Jamal Charles, Walter White, Marcus Allen, John Ault, Will Shields, Jack Rudney, J- Joe Tooney, Mitchell Schwartz, Otis Taylor, Dante Hall, and backup Joe Montana.
Nice. Any defense?
Derek Thomas. Have you heard this? Are you ready for this? Derek Thomas, Bill Maas, Neil Smith, Chris Jones, Bobby Bell, Derek Johnson, Curly Culp, Emmett Thomas, Marcus Peters, Tyron Matthew, Eric Berry.
Nice.
What's yours? Go on.
So to recap on mine, my offense is Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tony Gonzalez, Tyreek Hill, Willie Roaf, Tim Grunhard, Brian Waters, Fred Abanas, Ed Budd, Priest Holmes, Jim Trier, Dwayne Bowe. And then on my defense is Willie Lanier, Buck Buchanan, Jared Allen, Albert Lewis, Tamba Harley, Deron Cherry, Johnny Robinson, Jim Lynch, Justin Houston, Brandon Flowers, and Dontari Poe. So not awful.
That is. Do you know what? We out of all those players, we've filled some really good teams there.
We have.
It's amazing to think that the Chiefs have got all these like kind of legendary players.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I mean, on both sides of the ball, we filled two teams with legendary players.
That's
a credit to the team.
We'll make a nice graphic for it. We'll get them all printed out and whatnot, and we'll put them on Arrowhead Pride for sure, no doubt. And you guys can vote for whose is the best. But thank you for sticking with us, because I can imagine at times this might have been a painful listen to us scratch our heads. But remember, as we say every week at the moment, it is June. There's mini camps are ended. Training camp doesn't start for another month and a half. So there is going to be content like this, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you might have enjoyed it, but we enjoyed the exercise. And I'm happy that my team fell the way that it did.
Yeah, I am as well, actually. Now I feel more comfortable than I did in day one. Put it that way. Because I was really kind of in shock, I think, from day one. But I'm glad that we've managed to pull it out of the bag there with a terrific defense. So you've got two camps there. Are you a defensive guy or you're an offensive guy? You decide. Anyway, mate, I've really enjoyed that. I really, really enjoyed that. I'm glad we did it over 2 days and not just like one or loads of them over the next few weeks. But appreciate everyone for listening to that. And like Tom says, if you have a team or you have some players that we've missed that you think should be in both of those teams, let us know at Arrowhead Pride. Anyway, all that's left to say is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, I don't. It's. So I'll edit that a little bit out.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.